From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 17th day of September 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, farm groups want USDA to provide a credit crisis backstop for the grain handling industry. And Washington makes some movement on energy legislation. More later on these stories and a bit of advice about marketing corn. It'll come from University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will discuss today's agricultural weather forecast. Sunny skies and fall-like temps are on tap. And after that, on most of these radio stations, we'll talk with the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association. We call it our Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat for the soft red, 35 and three quarters of a cent higher at $7.25 and three quarters. March, $7.46, up 34 cents in the May contract from the wheat pit at $7.58 and three quarters, 35 and a half higher. December corn at $5.54, up 21 and three quarters. The March at $5.70, up 19 and three quarters. And May corn futures at 579.5, 17.5 cents higher. July futures at 588.5, up 18 and one quarter. November soybean futures today, $11.39, 15 cents higher. January at 11.53 and a quarter, up 14. And the March contract at $11.65.5, 12 and a quarter higher. May futures from the bean pit at 11.73, up 12 cents. October bean meal at 322.70, up 220. October bean oil at 43.97. Up 37 on the afternoon. October live cattle futures at 102.60, down 15 cents. September feeders at 108 bucks, down 90 cents for the day. And the October lean hogs finished at $68.27.5, up 80 cents on the afternoon. July wheat futures for next year, by the way, settled at $7.70.25, up 36 and three quarters of a cent on the afternoon in Chicago. And December wheat in Kansas City at 761.5 was up 27 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures are trading the nearby crude oil at $95.90 a barrel. That's $4.75 higher. November at $97.10, up $6.08. October ethanol at $2.17.7, 3.7 higher. The natural gas is trading at $7.91. That's up 63 cents. RBOB gasoline at 245 3/10, 5 2/10 higher, and the heating oil, diesel fuel, 9 9/10 higher at $2.81.9. October propane is trading. It's 9 cents lower at $1.47.5, and the gold futures are up $70.10 at this hour at $846.60. That, of course, is a 15-minute delay, as is the Dow Jones Industrial Average number, which now stands just about 226 points lower at 108.31 for the afternoon. The U.S. dollar is trading at 78.19. That's down 1.05 for the day. CRB index at 350.77 is 9.6 higher on the afternoon. And the Goldman Sachs is trading 619.30. That's up 28.36. Here's what the forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Daniel Pounder, he says tonight skies will be clear. There'll be a bit of patchy fog that forms overnight. Lows will generally range between 45 and 50 degrees, but warmer in the mid-50s in Chicago. Tomorrow, Mr. Pounder says, highs will range between 75 and 80. No precip expected for the rest of the work week. No significant rainfall shown on any models until the last couple of days of September. The prolonged period of dry weather should allow those floodwaters to recede and ponds and fields to evaporate quickly.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the outside markets and get your assessment of where they are at this point, please.
Yeah, lots of news here today, and the concern continued from last night about AIG and their commodity index funds were being liquidated because of the potential demise. Well, the Fed basically came to the rescue in an $85 billion bailout, and then yesterday, Morgan Stanley was also heavily liquidating commodity futures and was noted in the Chicago trading. Overnight, the mercantile people basically announced a special deal privilege of block trading, in which they could basically sell large trades to one broker to another broker at a predetermined price. That's unusual. It was only 2 days of that being authorized. The other thing that happened is the dollar weakened. Crude oil rallied. Gold's up $85, $86 an ounce. Silver's up $1.47 an ounce. The stock market is coming back, only 167. Shares of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are down 25 to 30%. And they've had pretty good earnings. And, of course, these investment banks are taking a horrible beating. The volume of shares traded in the December corn contract, 156,000 beans, I think 104,000 contracts. Gold was 271,000 contracts. It was really a big volume day today. And corn, you know, there was always concern of more selling showing up. It was concern about a weak dollar. It's a concern about maybe having investments in other vehicles besides currency. And the marketplace is concerned about the crop conditions in the U.S. and the corn fields, you know, the problems with the green snap in the southern part, the flooding in the northern part. And what a day in the commodity world.
Well, tell me a little bit more about this, because it appears that soybeans and corn came through a fairly rough liquidation of some of those investment firms out of their commodity positions, that is. But they have held fairly strong since that point, at least today. And now we've got gold futures moving higher. Does this give you some optimism about the future at all?
Well, you know, a couple of things. The commodities have been beat up since the USDA crop production report by a unrelenting, long liquidation of the commodity markets, you know, from gold to crude oil to corn, soybeans, and wheat. And my opinion is it's probably been exaggerated to a very big degree. And a couple of people want to point to a slowdown in the U.S. and the world. And we do know, looking backwards, that these index funds, these commodity traded stock futures contracts have kind of changed the market trade and action a great deal. It's been fun to see the added volatility to the marketplace, but if something would ever change to reduce that position, it would create a lot of pain, and that's what we're going through almost on a non-ending basis for the last 2 weeks here.
Well, that pain has come and continues. Once it's complete, if the index funds don't come back into the marketplace, can and would, do you think, prices hold strong if commercials are the primary players in the marketplace
again?
Yeah,
good question. you know, we need a very, you know, this new modern agricultural deal is based on exports and also ethanol and biodiesel demand, and that's part of the equation, the reason why the Midwest agricultural society has been such a success story. And, you know, we don't need to destroy that those two areas. And hopefully with, you know, with a stable economy, a stable Wall Street, and, you know, kind of a stability coming back in the energy sector, you know, we've kind of come through this, you know, basically without too much injury. But it is scary because, you know, so much of our wealth from 401ks to IRAs to individual stock ownership is based on the stock market. We've seen some tremendous gyrations in the marketplace, and some of these big money center banks have lost a lot of money, and that also is scary. And one reason why I think just this last week, I think there was $11 billion taken out of mutual funds and investments in the stock market.
I have a two-pronged question for you. Do you defend 550 corn at all if you don't have crop insurance, or for that matter, if you do have crop insurance?
Well, my hunch is that I think the crop is getting smaller, and I listen to your Commodity Week program with Joe Pisacki a lot, and I think the bottom line here is the length of the ear of corn, the girth of the ear of corn, and with this flooding and wind damage, I think we've got a smaller corn crop and bean crop than we had earlier. The second thing that I want to say is a person does have to be a strong holder of commodities. Hope you're well-financed, and hopefully you'll be able to sell corn, soybeans, and wheat at a better time.
Anything to add on the outside markets
before I let you go? Well, you know, I have to give the tip of the hat to the Treasury Department and the Fed for, you know, creating this stability and doing the job they're doing. I think it's really a remarkable job, and we have to give them a good tip of the hat.
All right, Paul, thanks much. And
have a profitable day, Todd.
Mm-hmm. You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of WILL Public Radio from the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. It's free. If you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe. It's all that easy at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In today's agricultural news, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada plans to call up legislation that would extend dozens of expired and expiring provisions, including incentives for renewable energy. Reid says he hopes to work out an agreement with Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky that would separate votes on renewable energy tax incentives, other tax extenders, and a patch to prevent alternative minimum tax from hitting millions of more taxpayers. Lawmakers have been deadlocked over the tax provisions for most of the 110th Congress, but one possibility now under discussion would have the energy tax breaks fully offset. The other extensions partially offset the AMT patch without offsets. Key senators on the Finance Committee made progress over the weekend toward a deal. Well, major farm groups are concerned that another rapid run-up in commodity prices later this year could spark a credit crunch in the United States agribusiness sector, and they're asking for USDA's help for stalling a potential crisis. Stuart Doan has more.
In a letter to Ag Secretary Ed Schaefer, the groups say they believe USDA has the legal authority to establish a temporary loan guarantee program that would ensure efficient marketing of farm commodities in the event of a liquidity meltdown. With these guarantees in place,
we've heard from some lenders to grain elevators as well as to the cotton warehouse industry that they might be more willing to extend more of an advance rate to the commercial hedger to finance hedges for the purchases that they're making so they can continue to offer forward price contracts and other kinds of risk management tools to producers.
Randy Gordon of the National Grain and Feed Association, NGFA, along with the American Farm Bureau, National Farmers Union, and groups representing corn, cotton, rice, soybeans, sorghum, and wheat growers signed the letter to Schaefer and have also discussed their idea privately with Undersecretary Mark Keenum.
We just wanted to try to reiterate to the department that even though grain prices have been tempered to a degree, we don't think we're out of the woods when it comes to market volatility.
Gordon stressed the loan guarantee concept is one of several options under consideration to help commercial hedgers should they require additional lines of credit. He declined to identify the others. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
And finally today, Oxford University scientists in England have discovered that a meat-free diet may be bad for your brain. They say vegan or vegetarians are 6 times more likely to sustain brain shrinkage than meat eaters. The blame goes to a lack of vitamin B12, which is found in meat, fish, and dairy products, including cheese. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is our Harvest Hour edition. Most of these radio stations will stay with us for an extra half hour today. Our guest that you can call in and talk to is Bob Dickey. He's the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association. That happens in the second half hour of the Closing Market Report. Now up next, harvest of course is upon us, and that means farmers will be forced to make some decisions about pricing corn. I'll have some advice from University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. USDA didn't help farmers out much when it released the last set of reports. The average cash price it predicts, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good, makes deciding what to do with corn this fall difficult.
You know, it's really kind of a toss-up, Todd. You look at USDA's projection of the average price for the year at 5.5, and you say if you look where the market is right now, you know, $5 plus out of the field and higher prices for delivery later in the year, that's about where the market is right now. So we're not getting a strong signal here that the market is either way overpriced or underpriced. It looks like it's right in the ballpark.
The U of I number cruncher says given that, he thinks producers with a fair amount of corn already priced, say 30% or more, could safely store the crop and wait for higher prices to come later in the marketing year.
I certainly wouldn't be in a big hurry if I had, you know, 25, 30, 40% of the crop already sold. I think that gives us the luxury to wait on that spring rally.
Those corn producers who haven't sold anything are in a bit of a different boat. Good says for cash flow and tax management purposes, it would be prudent to sell some right out of the field at, say, $5 plus.
That would be for those who really haven't done anything to this point.
If you'd like to read more from Daryl Good on marketing grain, it's easy to do. Just visit the Farm Doc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. That's www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Last week on this program, I have to make an apology because last week on this program at one point we were talking a bit about cash grain and some deliveries that were made, and I backfigured something from 15% moisture to 18%, got 18 stuck in my mind. And I know full well that 15% is what you deliver corn at to the grain elevators, and I apologize for that. I've had a few farmers and others that have called up and remind me not to do that on the air. And, well, thank you very much, actually, for taking me to task on that one. That keeps my credibility good and keeps me on my toes to make sure that I'm doing what's right for you.
Programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. The folks up at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, are on the line with us this afternoon. We're joined by Matt Blaisdell. Hi, Matt.
How are we doing today?
I'm very good. Tell me about cash grain in your area, please.
Corn basis continues to increase here. Even the country elevators are starting to kind of get maybe a little bit worried that they may not have quite the book on that they would like to have at this point, and getting a little worried that maybe their spaces that they allocated to corn isn't going to get filled here. I think as industry-wide here, after the farmers saw the high prices that we saw here early summer, the late part of the summer was just pretty slow as a way with actually putting more and more on the books. Now that guys are starting to see the crop, and some guys are actually in the field, those guys are starting to call in a little more, but more, and bases are actually coming along as they do that, and starting to pop up here.
Now, when you say they're putting their book on and they're concerned that they're not going to fill the elevator up, is that because yields are lower? Is it because farmers are holding grain off in their own bins, or a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think, we had a decent amount of storage here built in the last 3 to 4 years in our general draw area, added some decent-sized processors into the mix, and then the fact that I think after the farmers saw that $7 board or $750 cash price on the board, and I kind of got a little shocked when that went away within a matter of weeks down to $2 that they just didn't put on the bushels that they might had once done in that general time frame.
So you've had some early corn come in. You've got a good handle on what early corn is yielding in your area?
Early corn yielding in our area, and most of this is coming off some fairly good dirt, and they're just early varieties, but they're coming in 200-plus. Went out and did a couple yield checks yesterday, though, and you don't have to go too far south of us, and you're dropping 20 to 25 bushel an acre on that, that 170 to 180 bushel corn.
When they get into that area, are they talking about the same thing that Joe Prasaki was telling us on Commodity Week and some other programs, that they're just not getting the girth on the ear?
That's exactly right. We had some pretty short yield years. Only half to three-quarters of the ear is actually developed. And that's pretty widespread, like I said, south of the elevator. As you go towards some of the listeners in Illinois, say, towards Lafayette and maybe even towards Indianapolis. Just kind of give some guys some geography references there.
And finally, before you give us your bids, when do you expect the full swing of harvest to begin in your area?
Looks like the 10-day forecast is calling for no rain. Should see basically everybody have the combine out and going here middle to latter part of next week.
And your bids for the day?
Corn, we're at 522, and beans delivered this week, we're at 1149 in Adelphi.
Thanks much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be with us to talk about the agricultural weather forecast and on most of these radio stations. After that, we'll talk with Bob Dickey. He's the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, and open the phone lines to your questions. Stay with us. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A judge has told former University of Illinois basketball star Jamar Smith that it's his last chance to avoid jail or prison, and Smith says he's starting a new life. This morning, Judge Richard Klaus accepted an agreement that gives Smith another 18 months probation. He violated terms of his previous probation earlier this year by being caught drinking. Smith had been sentenced to probation for aggravated DUI after crashing a car last year and injuring a teammate. Today, Smith admitted he's an alcoholic and says he'll move to Evansville to undergo outpatient treatment, get a job, and eventually enroll in the University of Southern Indiana for the second semester. Smith will also have to wear an ankle bracelet that monitors any signs of alcohol use. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees is suing the governor over his plan to close the Pontiac Correctional Center. The union represents Pontiac's prison workers, and it claims the General Assembly appropriated money to run Pontiac, and the governor can't spend those funds elsewhere. Meanwhile, Governor Blagojevich won't know what he missed when 24 state parks and historic sites shut down because of budget cuts. That's because his spokesman says the governor has never visited them. Blagojevich spokesman Lucio Guerrero says a lot of other people haven't visited either because the decision to close places is based on attendance and not whether the governor likes them. Guerrero says Blagojevich hasn't made any personal visits or held events at the 11 state parks or 13 historic sites that are slated to close because of efforts to close a $2 billion budget hole. The State Board of Education says grade school students generally outperformed their students last year on statewide achievement tests. Overall, 79.1% of students met or exceeded standards on the Illinois Standards Achievement Test, up from 78.7% in 2007. And while national opinion polls on the presidential race drive a lot of media reports, a U of I professor's developed what he says is a more accurate predictor. The website uses state data, which drives electoral college results. The professor says from those numbers, he comes up with estimates for a probability that either candidate will win each state. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farms in the Midwest are wet, but hopefully they'll be drying out here over the next few days. Is that right?
It is right. The weather pattern right now is looking amazingly dry across the eastern Corn Belt in particular. Most of the areas that have been hit with all that excessive amounts of moisture are still facing a rather restricted precipitation bias that will take us out probably a full week for sure, and probably as much as 10 days. The most recent model run at midday today suggested that there would be a chance for some rain to develop in the eastern Corn Belt starting around the 28th of September and would occur lightly on the 29th into the 30th, and then we'd go dry again. And the amount of rain that's being suggested here is well below average, and so the bottom line, again, is that we're going to see a continuation of improving conditions. I do have one word of caution, though. The second week of the two-week midday GFS model run was probably a little bit on the dry side and had a lot of cool air coming southward out of Canada into the uppermost portions of the Midwest. I think that all that was overdone. And I don't think we're going to see the kind of flow pattern that's evolving there. So we may end up with a little more rain in the second week of the two-week outlook, but again, we will make huge strides in getting rid of the moisture surplus over this next week.
And will there be cold air along with this? I know we're getting late enough in the season, and we're far enough behind in growing degree days that it's really becoming a concern for both the soybean and the corn crop.
That's right, and I am getting more and more concerned about the delay in that crop because we are going to most likely see a relatively normal occurrence of our first frost and freezes in quite a few areas, and that means that some of these crops are just not quite going to be mature enough to fend off the potential for a little bit of a quality loss, if nothing else. I am noting today many areas around the northern hemisphere experiencing their first frost and freeze event or will do so over the coming week, and I think that we'll see the same thing occur in the northern U.S. plains before the next 7 days is over, and we'll probably start pushing some of that kind of cool air into the northwesternmost corner of the Corn Belt. I don't think we're going to see a big unusual surge of earlier than normal cold into the heart of the Midwest. That's the good news. But when we get into the early part of October, we may still be facing some kind of frost and freeze event that will become a little bit of a concern for some of these immature crops.
Around the globe, how are things setting up for the winter and the spring planting seasons, depending on which part of the globe you're on?
Right. As far as winter planting is concerned for the northern hemisphere, everything looks pretty good. I don't think there's too many areas out there that are hurting big time in the northern hemisphere with moisture. In fact, if anything, we've got moisture surpluses evolving in southeastern Europe and parts of southern portions of Russia and Ukraine. But as we go on and take a look at the southern hemisphere, we still have dryness issues going on in both Australia and Argentina. Argentina will have opportunity for some rain showing up here in the coming week. I don't think it's going to be real heavy. Actually, tomorrow night into Saturday is probably the best opportunity for rain there. And Australia is going to continue fighting dryness for at least another week and maybe 10 days.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. Join us from his Kansas City office. We'll say goodbye to some of our listeners on some of these radio stations, but the rest of you will continue with our Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll talk with Bob Dickey of the National Corn Growers Association. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to expand our program to a full hour. And in this, the second half hour of the Closing Market Report, we'll talk with Bob Dickey. He and his wife, Mary, farm a diversified grain and livestock operation in Laurel, Nebraska. And Bob will be the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association. He'll take office on October the 1st. He's online with us now. Good afternoon to you, Bob. Well, Bob will be with us momentarily, apparently. Oh, Bob, are you with us this afternoon?
Hello, yep.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Tell me about your operation there in Laurel, Nebraska first.
We have a diversified grain and livestock operation in Laurel, Nebraska. Laurel is located in northeast Nebraska, about 40 miles west of Sioux City, Iowa. Our agriculture is much like western Iowa corn-soybean rotation.
Are you on center pivots there, or are you rain-fed?
Yeah, we have both. We have dry land, and we have center pivots. We don't like to run the pivots unless we absolutely have to because of the energy cost, but we do have them just in case they're needed. They're what I would call an insurance policy, Todd.
And what's the difference in the yield generally between the two?
Depends on the year. I can tell you that those of you who are dry land are fortunate because of the increasing energy costs that we've seen in recent years. And our records show that we've been able to produce a bushel of dry land corn cheaper than we have the irrigated bushel of corn, simply because of irrigation costs and with the fixed cost and the energy prices and so on. It's just like I said, nothing but an insurance policy, really.
In just a couple of moments, we'll take a break for about 2 minutes, Bob, and get an update from Wall Street. But I do want to hear one final thing before we leave you for the moment. And then we'll come back and open up the phone lines for people to ask questions of you.
Sure.
About the National Corn Growers Association and your work with them. But what are your expectations for yield at this time, and when do you think you'll be in the field?
Well, our expectations are real high here in northeast Nebraska. We've been fortunate this year. We did not get the heavy rains that many corn producers received early this spring. We did have a rather cold, damp spring, but we were able to get our crop in the ground in a timely manner. We didn't get the heat degree days that we would hope for in July and August. So our crop is a little bit behind. We do need an extended growing period of maybe an extra week or 10 days.
All right. In just a couple of moments, we'll open the phone lines up. If you have a question for the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, you can get ahead of the curve if you'd like and dial in at 333-9455. That's a 217 area code. Or anywhere you can hear us at 800-222-9455. Time to check in on Wall Street. Scott Moe is with us this afternoon. Hi, Scott.
Good afternoon. Well, the Dow and the NASDAQ have been under dramatic selling pressure on heavy volume as bank lending seized up following the government's bailout of American International Group. Some mixed news today on the housing front. Mortgage applications jumped 33% last week. At the same time, August housing starts dropped 6.2%, a much larger decline than expected. Transportation stocks fell as oil rebounded from a two-day decline. On the plus side, General Mills gained after it beat earnings estimates. Currently, the New York Advanced Decline is 15-1 negative on issues and 10-1 negative on volume. The Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 10,742. That's down 315 points on volume of just over 1.5 billion shares trading hands. Transports are down 91 at 49.39. Utilities are down 13 at 4.33. NASDAQ's off 59 at 21.49. And the S&P 500's at 11.70. That's down 43 on the day. Currently, we have 362 advancing issues, 2,837 declining, with 25 issues unchanged on the day. The October bond closed at 121 and 30 seconds. That was up 10 30 seconds on the day. Brings long bond yield to a 4.08. Oil's up $5.75 at 96.93. And the London afternoon gold fix is up 33.50 at $813 an ounce. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 10,742. That's down 315 points on the day. This is Scott Moa with Wachovia Securities. Have a good afternoon.
And you too, Scott. Scott Moa of Wachovia Securities joining us here on a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Mark Report. Our guest on the line is Bob Dickey. He's the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association. Hails from Laurel, Nebraska. Thanks for joining us, Bob. Let's start with this question. And I'm going to make an assumption that one of the things that we heard in the newscast this afternoon you were involved with, maybe, in a conversation about the availability of credit in the coming months, given the problems that Wall Street has had and the ability that USDA might have to make that available to the grain handling industry should problems arise there. Were you involved in those discussions at all?
Not directly, but I am aware of those discussions, and I can tell you that as a corn producer and as the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, I am very much concerned about that situation. It's definitely going to take a lot of credit in the coming days. There's no question about that. And I just hope that we can get through it in the best way possible.
Now, the assessment is of the corn growers that there was a potential big problem when we moved to $7 corn earlier in the year. And we've talked about this many times on the air with some of our analysts, that the grain elevators and the risk management that they were handling as producers or selling them grain at much lower levels was creating a credit crunch for them. We probably had at least one that I know of elevator in this state that was in good standing but had so much credit debt that it had to fold its doors at one point. And how big a problem do you think this might be?
Well, there's no question about it that we do have a lot of volatility in the market. We've had a lot of volatility this past year, and I believe we're going to continue to see so in the future. And I firmly believe that we need to do a better job of risk management. The opportunities are great in agriculture today, but so are the risks. And so I think we need to prepare ourselves for those risks by providing some risk management to our operations. And we hopefully can be able to do that through our elevators and futures markets and other tools.
Have you talked as well about convergence and problems with convergence, and are there plans on the books from NCGA?
We have had an individual from the NCGA board testify on the convergence of the market. We are concerned about that, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see what develops in the future.
Listeners, if you'd like to join our conversation, you can this afternoon. The area code is 217. The phone number is 333-9455. That's WILL. Or toll-free 800-222-9455. We're talking with the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, Bob Dickey, from Laurel, Nebraska. Bob, what other issues is NCGA concerned about at this time?
Well, of course, we're concerned about the implementation of the Farm Bill. As you know, we worked long and hard on the Farm Bill. We were delighted that it include the acre program, the revenue program, the rich crop protection program. And as that's implemented, of course, we think that's important that corn producers give the consideration. Now, one thing that I liked about this farm program is that it's actually going to give the producers a choice next year. They can have the choice or the option of signing up for the old program, the 2002 traditional farm program, or the new average crop revenue election program.
And once they make that choice, they'll be stuck with it, though, for 5 years, right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And I think as we look to the future, I think the revenue-based safety net is going to be important. especially in light of the input costs that have skyrocketed in recent days and recent months. I believe the acre program may be the key to helping protect the bottom line for many corn growers out there. So I would certainly encourage them to consider it, push the numbers for their particular farm, and go with what option best works for them.
Well, why do you think it would be a better option on your farm?
Well, on my farm, I'm concerned about the skyrocketing and escalating costs that we have with the fertilizer and diesel fuel and seeds and other input costs. And I just think it's important that we have a program that protects our revenue, and that's exactly what this acre program does.
Let's turn our attention to some of the energy things, but we'll stay related to fertilizer and input cost. Would you be in favor of more exploration for natural gas in the United States?
Yeah, I know that's very, very controversial, but as a corn producer, I believe that we should do more offshore drilling. I'm for that. Anything that we can get more energy that's available for our farmers and for our consumers.
In this case, natural gas, of course, would be the primary feedstock to make anhydrous ammonia or any form of nitrogen at all.
Exactly. And as you know, the natural gas prices have skyrocketed, and so therefore the fertilizer prices have skyrocketed just as well. And that concerns a lot of us as producers.
What kind of energy legislation are you watching in Washington, D.C., and things that may or may not change over time? I know earlier in the year the Texas governor tried to roll back the RFS.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. But with the foresight and the planning that the NCGA Corn Board has done over the past few years, for example, in 2006 we came up with a strategic plan that we're going to have the 15 by 15 by 15. In other words, we're going to produce 15 billion bushels of corn. They will produce 15 billion gallons of ethanol by the year 2015. And if you look at the trends in the yields that we receive, why, I think we're right on board to accomplishing that.
Have you been watching the World Trade Organization and the kinds of negotiations they have? And do you think it will really have an impact? I think at one point there was some thought that potentially the last farm bill could be opened back up because of WTO negotiations.
Well, I've heard talk of that. I don't have any particular details in mind right at the moment, but I can tell you that the NCGA wants expanded markets. We want expanded trade. Because the export markets are critical to our producers.
And what other issues would you be taking up? And maybe you can talk about some of the work that you've done in-house. I'm interested in particular that you sat on a committee called Structure Review. What is that?
Well, that had to do with our strategic plan a few years ago. I think it's important that we look to the future and try to determine what is best for our corn producers. And as you know, you need to make plans for that early on. And so I have the opportunity to sit on a structure review committee to look at the future of corn. And as you know, through the years, we've built a strong, strong demand base for corn, built strong demand base for our exports, for our ethanol industry, for our livestock industry, for food use, and so on. And so we do have a strong demand base today. I'm hopeful that we can keep that strong demand base for the future.
And when we come back in just a couple of minutes, I'd like to take up ethanol. I know you sat on the ethanol committee. And then maybe we could talk about the checkoff and how the funds are used through the National Corn Growers Association, okay?
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Bob Dickey is the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, joining us from his farm, which is located in Laurel, Nebraska. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. From now until the 10th of October, we'll expand our coverage of agriculture in the afternoon from half an hour at 2:06 to a full hour at 2:06. It's part of the commitment this radio station has made to agriculture. Stay with us on the Harvest Hour of the Closing Market Report.